Ding ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I am Dave DeFore here with Mark Schemmler for your Tuesday update. Before we start, don't forget you can get this podcast without ads by subscribing to us over at theathletic.com/NBA Show. Do it now. Let them know you love the show. You love waking up with me and Mark every Tuesday morning. We're going to jump right in because, man, there's just so much happening every single night, Mark. Big injury news in the NBA and some good news first. After missing the last 43 games, Paul George is finally coming back. He's going to make his return Tuesday night at home against the Utah Jazz, a team that the Clippers just kill anyway. And now they're adding Paul George. Think they're going to get a win, Mark?
I was going to say, man, it's only fitting that Paul George comes back against the team that they dusted in the playoffs last year. I would bet on the Clippers winning. The Jazz have been a little bit out of sorts recently.
Yeah, and I got to say, this does change their fortunes for the not only the play-in, because they're adding Paul George to a spot that, frankly, they now have more talent than they ought to be in, but maybe even for the playoffs, because there is a outside chance, knowing how sneaky the Clippers have been here. Like, I mean, they've been hiding Paul George coming back for, and now it's just gotten out. Man, what if Kawhi comes back?
Man, I hope so.
I'm rooting for it because I want more chaos in this playoffs that is bound to have tons of chaos. Now, some bad injury news. Time Lord Robert Williams expected to miss some time after he was diagnosed with a torn meniscus. Further details are going to come out as we get more reporting. But as of late Monday night, we don't know if he's going to have surgery or not, but it seems like he's going to miss some time, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, this is just it sucks to hear. I know both Jared Weiss and Jay King have written a lot about how impactful he's been for their season. The Celtics have been by far the best team in basketball in 2022, and Rob Will's been a big part of that. They still have some, you know, outside title contention, but this is a real sizable blow to where they're headed.
I mean, look, Robert Williams has gotten some All-NBA defense buzz, some Defensive Player of the Year buzz, because people can't figure out who exactly to credit for the Boston defense. Robert Williams is a good candidate to me. Now, a better candidate, the guy that led him tonight without anyone else on the court against the Raptors, Celtics-Raptors tonight. We got an overtime game, Mark. And look, Marcus Smart was awesome, and we're going to get to him in a second. But the story of this game, Pascal Siakam with a season-high 40 points, had 13 rebounds, somehow fouled out of this game and had those kind of numbers, Mark. I mean, his defense was fantastic. And with five fouls, he picked up a couple blocks in overtime. He was instrumental to this win.
I mean, hey, if Nick Nurse played me 42 minutes, I would foul out too. But it's hard to talk about Pascal without bringing up Rob Will, because, I mean, the Raptors scored 17 of their 24 shots at the rim, which is just an unsustainable metric for any team trying to play successful defense. It definitely showed up late too. I mean, Pascal, those power drives, getting his shoulder in, a lot of stuff in the mid post. It just felt like him, Scotty, and OG attacking over and over and over again in the paint. And it was a really successful formula.
And Boston was shorthanded, as I noted earlier. They were without Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, obviously Rob Williams, and Al Horford. So they were down four starters in this game. And for me, look, moral victories can only take you so far, but I think if you look at this game and you're Boston, you got to feel pretty good. Marcus Smart stepped up, had 28 points in this game, and he's been playing Defensive Player of the Year level basketball all year on the defensive end, but these sorts of nights on the offensive end is what they actually need more of from him, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I was not ready for Marcus Smart to take 25 shots tonight, but he was ready for it. He looked pretty darn good too, especially in the overtime. This is the best offensive season of his career. I mean, they need more than two of 11 from three, but part of that's just the difficulty factored in. He had a really good night tonight.
Yeah, and down the stretch in this game, we almost didn't get overtime. Grant Williams had a nice dribble drive into the paint. The ball was knocked away as he was trying to penetrate, and they don't even get a shot up there at the end. And that was that Toronto defense that I thought we didn't see enough of in this game until the end of the game when Toronto made that final push to get to overtime.
Yeah, it was really tough too. Derek White was only 4-16 from the floor tonight, but his ball movement and the way that he's able to keep, you know, attacking off the second side, just continuously moving the ball, I think just has continued to add another element to the Celtics offense as they've gotten better and better after the trade deadline. But they need him to hit more shots. I think that would have been a real difference maker tonight. Sounds easy looking in retrospect, but you can just tell they need more of that.
Yeah, and with the Bulls lost tonight against the Knicks and the Raptors picking up a huge win, this has huge playoff ramifications. And we'll circle back to that at the end of the show. We'll just update the standings and kind of let you guys know where everything stands.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
In Charlotte, Nikola Jokic records yet another, his 19th, triple-double of the season, 26 points, 19 rebounds, 11 assists, to lead the Nuggets over the Hornets, 113-109. The Nuggets only play close games, Mark, and they look exhausted in every single game, somehow gutting this one out, and really, it's all Jokic.
You know, I have the weirdest thing to say about this game. This may have been the best rebounding game I've ever seen from a player this season. Like, Jokic had 19 boards. Felt like he had 40, man. He wasn't super clean on his looks, but every putback was there. He just had Mason Plumlee spinning like a top, trying to get any loose ball. His second jump, even if he's not getting that high off the ground, so quick. It was full display tonight.
Aaron Gordon scored 21, but 17 of those, Mark, came in the first quarter. He was hot. Or does Charlotte just suck at defense?
It's a little bit of both. AG hit like a one-legged runner, which, as you know, that is not a traditional Aaron Gordon shot that's going to go in. But he also had a lot of backdoor lobs, runouts in transition. Charlotte's defense was just kind of wayward to start the night, and that really was painful for them because they started really well offensively too. It felt like that made a lot of the difference in the game for me.
Yeah, and there was a weird moment. Trez Harrell got ejected in this game, exchanged some words with Aaron Gordon. He actually stepped over Austin Rivers, and that's what triggered the ejection. It was, you know, a taunting ejection. But I do want to talk about Trez because I did think that the energy he was bringing to that point was good for Charlotte. I mean, he was part of the reason why they were able to come back when they were down early against Denver. They missed him down the stretch. He's going to be a key player for them if they want to get out of the play-in game and if they want to do anything in the first round of the playoffs. And I thought it was notable that in this game, they struggled to shoot from outside, and it got worse when he was out. LaMelo was really the only guy that was able to get it going, Mark, and they ran into a math problem.
Yeah, no, 100%. LaMelo was 4 of 11 from 3 tonight, and the rest of the team shot 31% from deep. When you're in this close of a game, you need better than that. It's not that the looks were bad, but just you got to hit your shots.
And at the end of Monday night, we've got to update the playoff race because it is changing every single day. And Mark, today no different. The Miami Heat finally get a win. They've been scuffling, so they get a win. Boston loss drops them to the 4 seed. So Miami now the 1 seed with a 1-game lead over Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Boston. I mean, this is going to come down to the last game of the season. And I got to admit, man, like this is one of the most chaotic seasons. I don't know who the one seed's going to be, much less who's going to win the East.
I don't think that any of the teams know either, man. Like, if you told me a couple of days ago that Miami was still going to be in the one seed Tuesday morning, I would have told you you're crazy, but here they are. They got a win tonight, granted against a Kings team, but it's pretty wild, man. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, we got a three-team race for the 5, 6, and 7 seeds. Cleveland, with the win tonight, maintains pace with the Raptors, only a game back of them for the 6 seed, but the Raptors win. Bulls lost. Now they're tied in the wins and loss column for that 5th spot, but the Bulls have the season series, so they are currently the 5 seed. And that race in and of itself just seems like it came out of nowhere. I mean, the Bulls look like they were a top 4 seed for most of the season, but the trends were there. They were losing games to good teams, Mark.
Yeah, and it's really tough too, because when you look at the Cavs, Lauri Markkanen went down tonight. Evan Mobley rolled his ankle. They just continue to get absolutely slammed by injury, and it's looking like they're going to end up in the play-in if things hold up the way that they have.
Yeah, the Hawks and the Hornets both play tonight. The Hornets lost. The Hawks win. Hawks now a half game behind Charlotte for the 9th spot in the play-in. And then Brooklyn sitting at 8 is only a half game ahead of Charlotte. So only one game separating Atlanta in 10 and Brooklyn in 8. And Brooklyn is not really playing all that great.
Yeah, no, they've been trying to find their way after finally having their full team together, sans Ben Simmons. And yeah, I mean, they have early season growing pains in game 70.
And in the West, of course, we know the Phoenix Suns, they're running away with this thing. They are the runaway favorites, I think, to win not only the West, but to win the title. I mean, they just are just such a professional class organization. They're killing everybody. Chris Paul comes back, hadn't missed a beat, looks fantastic. Memphis Grizzlies continue their run. They stomp the Warriors without Steph Curry. They are now firmly the 2nd seed. That just feels locked. Now, the Warriors, it's getting tricky for them. Mark, they are now only a game and a half above Dallas, and they're trending in the wrong direction completely.
Yeah, things have not been good for them. They've lost their last 3 games, 4-6 in the last 10. Their offense is just really sputtering right now without Steph.
And Dallas has not locked up that 4 seed yet. It's not safe. They only have a 1-game lead over Utah, and then a half game behind Utah is the Denver Nuggets in that 6th spot. It does feel like Minnesota's kind of locked into the 7 seed. Clippers probably locked into the 8. And then, of course, down at the bottom, the Pelicans, after their big win against the Lakers, they have a half game lead. They're now the 9th seed. The Lakers are the 10th seed. And looming large with a victory tonight, the San Antonio Spurs, now only a half game behind the Lakers. The Lakers were idle tonight. They play tomorrow. No LeBron James, no Anthony Davis. No chance the Lakers actually want to play in the play-in, right, Mark?
I mean, I hope not, because I don't want to watch them in the play-in. So, I mean, hey, Wenyen Gabriel, maybe 25% usage here, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we predicted this on this show a long time ago. We were pretty sure that San Antonio Spurs are going to make the play-in. I would love to see Greg Popovich get a run. Maybe we get a little March Madness-style run out of... Can they get Kemba Walker? Is he available?
Probably not.
That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Mark, let's get out of here.
Ding, ding, y'all.